Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, so Martin, let's just kick it off. We got football news, and it ain't good if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan or if you're a Baltimore Ravens player, because the NFL has now pushed that Ravens-Steelers game, which was supposed to be Thanksgiving night. They pushed it to originally, right? It was going to be moved to Monday, to Sunday, I should say. Then now it's moved to Tuesday. So now, right, is it Tuesday or Monday?
No, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday. So they moved it to Tuesday. So, and here's the other part. If they play it on Tuesday, which is scheduled to be played, the Ravens have at least 12 players who have tested positive for COVID-19, including, of course, their leader and Lamar Jackson. So the Ravens will be, you know, devastated as far as player loss, not having their quarterback. They've already announced that RG3 will get the start in that game against Pittsburgh. And Martin, you know, this is a mess. We knew that there would be COVID situations and you know, pushbacks and cancellations or postponements and all that. But I'm here to tell you, if this goes on and the Ravens play in the shape that they're in and RG3 is their quarterback and not Lamar Jackson, not only will they lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but the Ravens will not, N-O-T, make the playoffs.
I'll say this. I think right now the Ravens are definitely not in the top six teams in the AFC. They have no shot at winning the division, the AFC North. And the wild card is going to be really tough. But with the way the NFL has been adjusting these playoff schedules and adding teams and taking away bye weeks, I have trouble with saying hard line stop the Ravens won't be in the playoffs. However, if this was 2019 and everything was what it was, the Ravens would not be. But with 2020, who knows? But Anthony Lynn said it on the first episode of Hard Knocks when he was talking about the Los Angeles Chargers. The team that handles coronavirus the best is going to be the winner of this season. It's not going to be about talent. It's not going to be about, obviously to a degree, it's not going to be about talent. It's not going to be about how good your team is. It's going to be how well you are at mitigating the spread of this incredibly communicable virus. Obviously, you thought early in the season that the Tennessee Titans were going to be the ones that kind of like went by the wayside and weren't able to compete because of the coronavirus. But now it just looks like the Baltimore Ravens, who this is happening at the worst possible time, right? Because they've lost their last two. They haven't looked great really since the first, second, or third week of the season. Once Kansas City came in there in late in September and kind of showed that there were tears in the AFC. Because, I mean, you had what? I know you love to say it, but Colin Cowherd was saying the Ravens were going to go undefeated to start throughout all this season, right? So that was kind of where they were coming at. And since October, they've been about .500. And this couldn't have came at a worse time for them, having dropped two and Lamar not playing good.
That's why I'm saying, like, this is like the Titanic. It's going the other way. And I just don't know where this is going to change or alter. I mean, anything can happen, sure. But I don't feel confident at all of where the Ravens are. The way that they've played. We know they played in the monsoon, one of those games that they lost was a monsoon in New England, which eliminated their speed. But they just haven't played well, and you just keep shaking your head thinking that the switch is going to turn on. They're not even close to where they were a year ago when they were unstoppable. And you remember that, Martin. They won 12 games in a row. Obviously, Lamar Jackson was putting it on everybody. He was efficient. He made the passes that they needed. He rushed the ball. They rushed the ball as a team. It was great. And, everything was great.
That's part of the concern, right? Because you have Lamar Jackson do what? In the last 2 years, he was unanimous MVP of the NFL, like without a doubt, right? Now he's at press conferences saying they know our plays. They know what we're going to do ahead of time. And it's this Ravens team, like, It's a little messed up because Pittsburgh is undefeated and is in the top of the division, right? Now, if Pittsburgh was in, like, the AFC South, for example, would we be talking about the Ravens missing the playoffs? They would probably back into the playoffs as a wild card or something along those that nature if this was a regular year. But with all this, they have had so many just regular injuries. The offensive line, they lost Marshall Yonder, retired. Ronnie Stanley got hurt the day after he signed his big contract. They're losing defensive linemen and Williams and Calais Campbell. And like you said, the Ravens, when they were dominant, what did they do? They ran the ball down your throat matter what.
Everybody
and it's a lot harder to do that without those big old tackles out there getting in the way. And so I think that just – A, they're not healthy enough to make any real significant noise, like in just football health. And then when you get to like actual world health with coronavirus, obviously it's you know just racing through the Ravens organization with the speed that we haven't seen in any other organization in football so far. So I will say I can't say they're not going to make the playoffs, but they're not a top six team in the AFC, that's for sure.
And here's the other thing: when they did lose to Pittsburgh in that game, remember. Lamar had four turnovers in that game, and that really swung it. They only lost by four. When you give up four turnovers, you know, I mean, you're usually going to get drubbed by somebody, and to think that they were in that game and could win, but since then, it just hasn't felt the same. It just hasn't looked the same. And I'm just going by eye test, not by, you know, giving them a lifetime achievement award or just saying, well, that's the Ravens. You know how good they are from last year. No, I'm just talking about just from the eye test, the swagger is not there. They look like they've regressed, you know, offensively especially. And even their defense isn't as good, you know, Martin, as was advertised.
Well, I mean, think about it like this, Rob. They started the year 38-6 against Cleveland, okay? Week one, 38-6 versus Cleveland. Now in week 12, if I told which one of those teams is 7-3, you would have bet the rent that the Baltimore Ravens would be 7-3 and Cleveland would be somewhere like 3-7, right? If I told you that was the week one outcome and just prognosticate that throughout the rest of the year, the Ravens have been a wild disappointment.
Big time. 877-99 on Fox is our number. 877-996-6369. Now, Martin Weiss ain't going as far as I am, but if I'm saying if RG3 is your quarterback and not Lamar Jackson, when they play the Steelers on a Tuesday night, it could be a trash-talking Tuesday or just a getting trash Tuesday. And if the Ravens lose that game, I fear and I predict that they won't make the playoffs.
Well, you know
that
what
this
else
whole thing will come crashing down.
The thing about RG3 that's interesting, though, just a real quick aside, because Nick Wright on First Things First on FS1 was constantly talking about RG3 and how he wasn't going to be able to be a starting quarterback in the NFL years and years ago, right? So earlier this offseason, RG3 was on FS1 and questioned Nick about it, and he said that the reason why he wasn't a starting quarterback in the NFL is because of people like Nick Wright who was telling everybody that he couldn't have been a starting quarterback in the NFL. Well, RG3... here's your chance, pal, because you have a team right now. And let's be frank, Lamar Jackson has not played well this year. He's not played up to the standard that Lamar Jackson set for himself in 2019. And I'm not saying that there's any type of level of a quarterback controversy or anything of that nature. But if RG3 can come out and play well against an undefeated Pittsburgh team, which hasn't – their record is perfect, but Mike Tomlin will tell you, they haven't been perfect on film. They had some games they probably could have lost, like you alluded to earlier. Took four turnovers, and they only beat the Ravens by 4 points earlier in the year. It's got, like, I don't know.
And they struggled against Dallas.
It's just going to be, I just would like to, that's why I say I don't want to go all the way in, because RG3, when he was healthy as a young player, was electric. And I'd like to see what he can do now that he's, I mean, you have to think he's as healthy as he's been in his career since he came out of college.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Martin, you know this. Thanksgiving was awful as far as watching football. The Lions got boat raced by the Texans in Detroit. And in a game, you know, that if it was the 80s, would be great. the Washington football team against the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, but the Cowboys were awful. I mean, they were coming off the big win against Minnesota, Martin. People thought, oh, maybe the Cowboys are going to make a turn. They got this thing straightened out. Mike McCarthy, whose career there got off to such a bad start, has gotten these guys to buy in. They win a big road game. They come home. All they got to do is beat Washington. All of a sudden, they got a shot at the division, the NFC least. And Martin, you saw the fake punt.
I did.
It wasn't ugly. It was fugly. What was your take when you first saw it?
So, I kind of did my little Thanksgiving nap midway through. I'll just run you through my little Thanksgiving day, Rob. Woke up, went to work, put Skip and Shannon on the air, and then, you know, saw the Lions, and I had a parlay going, Rob. I had the Lions and the Washington football team both against the spread. Lions giving 3 points either way, right? So by about midway through the third quarter, I said, there's no chance the Lions are coming back in this thing. I got a good shot. And I was looking for that little nap window, right? Fell asleep around the fourth quarter. Ended up waking up for the kickoff of the Cowboys game. So I saw a lot of the first quarter. And obviously now, since it's now hours later, I've seen all of it. But I'm just talking about my live breakdown. So I saw it. I saw it. And I saw Andy Dalton throw the pick six. And so I said, okay, this isn't looking good. And then all of a sudden, I fall asleep. But it was one of those fall asleep where you kind of blink and you wake up and you didn't realize that things had happened. So I didn't realize that time had gone past in the game until I saw the score had changed. I just thought the Cowboys were up to their old tricks. When I saw that onset, when I saw that offensively bad fake punt, I mean, just think about it logically. If you take away all football knowledge, you got to get 10. Why you run back 25? You now have to get 35 yards on your own deep in your own territory. You have to gain 35 net yards to get one first down. It just was the ultimate take 5 steps back to try to take 1 step forward. And those things don't really happen in football. Like it's inexplicable what the Cowboys are doing.
The only thing worse than the fake punt was listening to Mike McCarthy trying to justify it. Listen to this.
It's definitely a big play opportunity is the way you view it. There's certain things you look for Tennessee-wise on when and where, but obviously we didn't execute it. And as those things go, I mean, obviously it's ultimately my responsibility when particularly a play like that doesn't work. But we're trying to generate a big play. At that point in the game, the information that you look for going into it, it was a solid call.
No, it wasn't solid.
It was not solid. No way, no how, Mike McCarthy. How dare you sit up there and act like that was the right call?
I'll tell you this right here. He generated a big play, all right? A big play for the Washington football team. Because let's be honest. You got a Washington football team with a quarterback who, like, if when you watch him step to take the field, you're both, like, incredibly happy and terrified at the same time. Because God forbid he take one more hit. And we just – eventually, you know he's going to take another shot. This is football. This is what happens. He's going to take a shot, and you just hope he gets up, right? And it's, like, it's a testament to the human nature that he can play, and I think it's absolutely insane saying that he's acting out on it. But the fact of the matter is, he's only thrown for like 250 yards in the last two games, consecutively. Like against Detroit, he wasn't great. Didn't throw a touchdown. Against the Cowboys, I think he had 175 yards total throwing the ball, less than 200 yards. This offense for the Washington football team is one of the reasons why I think the Giants can win the division. They can't score unless the defense is scoring for them. Or, Mike McCarthy, you give them a short field.
Mike McCarthy has been a disaster in Dallas. There's no other way of looking at it. And if Jerry Jones wasn't such a proud man or whatever, who knows? Some other owner might pull the plug and realize this just – because you know what, Martin? I get the injuries. I get Dak Prescott. But even before that, this has been bad from the start. They weren't getting any effort on defense by players. I mean – what has he done? What has he implemented? And then you're down by 4. You're at home. Like punt the ball, get a stop, and get the ball back. What are you doing? Like he derailed the season with this. They went from having a chance after that win last week against the Vikings, Martin, to this season being over with a hokey call and then trying to justify it. Jerry Jones went on the radio in Dallas, too, and tried to dress it up. You know, I'm sorry, the lipstick and the earrings. It still was a pig. I don't care what you say. It was a bad call. It was dumb, terrible, and they put the Cowboys in harm's way.
And here's the deal. Maybe going for it on fourth down when in a punting situation deep in your own end zone, in theory, is fine. I don't necessarily have a problem with it in theory if you have the advantage. Like, if you see something where you know you have a marked advantage, let's do it. However, the practice, in practice, what you actually did was terrible. Like, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with Frank Schwab about the Eagles, where the Eagles go for it on fourth down, they just go for two. It just seems like it's all no rhyme or reason. And it may make sense analytically to do these things. Well, it may make sense mathematically to do these things. But you have to have your best play call and to do it. You know what I'm saying? You can't run backwards 15 yards on fourth and 10.
This morning on the Dan Patrick Show, Jason McIntyre and I had former coach June Jones on, who coached the Falcons and, of course, Hawaii and some other teams
and
as well.
Houston, the Houston Roughnecks, XFL legend.
There you go. And he said he didn't understand the play with trying to get 10 yards. He just said, 10 yards you're trying to get? You know, like that's a lot of yards to do a fake punt. In that situation, he thought it was questionable at best, and I agree. I think that was just a call. And Mike McCarthy, since he left Green Bay or was fired and run out of town or whatever, and I know he won a Super Bowl there. They won a lot of divisions. They had a lot of good years because they had one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever played, you know, and Aaron Rodgers there. But does Mike McCarthy look the same to you? I mean, Martin, I know he's got a 5-year deal and he's sitting pretty, but if he was on the last year of a deal had a year left, I think he could get fired.
Of the big divorces in the NFL the last couple years, I think it's probably still out on Belichick and Brady, but there's obviously a winner in the Rodgers-McCarthy divorce. And I mean, if you look at the Packers now, like, I wouldn't say they've been pretty incredible under Matt LaFleur.
It is amazing when you think of how many games they've won actually in the two.
Like
years,
when you think about how many games, like he Matt, and you imagine either Matt LaFleur is the second coming of Lombardi or there'll be some regression, right? But when you see Aaron Rodgers playing football, even in the games when they are getting housed defensively, right? He does not look this. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is smiling. And I think that says all you need to say. They still don't have a great defense. They still don't have any offensive weapons. But when you look at Aaron Rodgers on the sideline, he's having a better time. He looks like he's having a good time.
He's got 29 touchdowns and 4 picks. He's having some year.
And I'm saying the team is remarkably similar to Mike McCarthy. I don't see any major difference between now and then. Between when McCarthy had the reins, like if you look at the personnel and you look at kind of like the biggest difference is obviously in the results. But Aaron Rodgers looks incredibly happy, and it just makes me wonder what was Aaron Rodgers covering up for Mike McCarthy all this? Do you want to talk about the lipstick on the pig? Was Rodgers the lipstick on the Mike McCarthy pig?
And I'll look at this now, really, with where the Cowboys are. ESPN picked them to go to the Super Bowl. And I know he'll get a mulligan because Dak got hurt. And people will use that as the excuse. Well, what do you want them to do? They weren't winning when Dak was throwing 450 yards a game. You know, they weren't winning. And the defense was awful. And I don't know.
Look, it took a onside kick that we've never, ever seen before in the however many years they've been playing professional football. Hell, professional football, college football. We've never seen an onside kick like the Atlanta Falcons were able to execute. You know what I'm saying? They should have lost that.
You mean able to choke.
That's
right.
What I meant. We're not able to execute, rather. We've never seen an onside kick that, like, the Cowboys were able to execute, which is part of the reason why everybody was saying how John Fossil was such a great offensive, such a great special teams coordinator. And that's why, like, you see Troy and Joe last night saying, he's really got an offensive mindset as a special teams coordinator. And that's trying to justify why that boneheaded play call would have been made. But realistically, if the 99.9% of the thing happens when that onside kick happens, the Cowboys aren't even sniffing first in this terrible division. The Cowboys are Jets level.
And that would be mind-boggling when you think of the personnel, the contracts that they've paid, right? They signed up just about everybody. Ezekiel Elliott got the largest contract for a running back at the time when he signed it. They didn't pay Dak. It might wind up helping them because if they're that bad and they get a quarterback, they might make a different have a different idea. But the Mike McCarthy era in Dallas to start has been a total disaster. And that, going along with that play there and that situation, just didn't make any sense. It just derailed the season. It made me question Mike McCarthy and what he's doing in Dallas. And I really feel like if it wasn't that they're married to him, you know, like, could there be a chance that they would move on? Because this has been an awful start there, and I don't know. I can't, unless something really changes drastically. Is he gonna finish out his 5 years in Dallas?
Absolutely not.
Are they going to the Super Bowl?
I'll be surprised if Mike McCarthy coaches over 30 games in Dallas.
Oh, you already? So you think there's a chance that maybe next year?
Well, 30 games. So the start of the third season. I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs in his tenure. So, like, yeah. So I think, like, next year towards the end of the season, like, I could see it. I mean, if you look at it like this again, because, okay, here's the thing, Rob. Let's think about the other teams that are the worst teams in football, right? The teams that are really towards the bottom. None of them have the payroll that the Cowboys do.
Or have the talent.
The talent, but, like, the talent is also, like, prerequisite to the payroll. Like, that's the reason why the Cowboys have such a high payroll, right? It's because they have more talented players. But, like, think about that. Like, the New York Jets don't have anybody with the pedigree or caliber of Ezekiel Elliott. There's nobody on the roster that has that type of stat. You know, there's nobody on the roster that has the stats or pedigree of an Amari Cooper or a CD Lamb. Like, there's nobody that has that type of pop, that has that type of, you know, projected ability. And that's not even talking about defensively, like Jalen Smith. There's just nobody on these other teams that are really, like, we look at the Eagles, you can point at all their injuries, okay? You look at the Giants, well, they weren't supposed to be very good, but even Saquon got hurt, right? And Dak got hurt, but Dak wasn't the focal point of that team, or he wasn't going to be the focal point of that team until really this year, where they decided they're going to kind of let him loose, right? But, I mean, it's just, it's obvious to me that it's not a talent thing. It's a coaching thing because you look at the other teams that have, like, you look at Jacksonville, comparable to Dallas, in my opinion. That is a talent thing. They don't have the guys to keep up. They're in games and lose them sometimes. Like, when have the Cowboys been in a game and you were like, oh, they're definitely taking this one?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It's a turn back the clock day tomorrow as Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. get in the ring for a fight for the ages. And, you know,
a fight for the aged is the word you're looking for.
Age is probably the better word to say. And, you know, some reporters, they had the online press conference last month, and people were asking, you know, is this an exhibition? And Mike Tyson was not that happy that was asked and said, quote, 12-ounce gloves, no headgear. Really? This is an exhibition? Come on, bro, be real. And then Tyson said, this is a real fight. He came back to fight, and that's why he's doing this. And it's somehow, some way, $49.95. It's tomorrow night. Tyson is 54 years old, hasn't fought since 2005 when he lost, and the corner had to stop the fight. And he hasn't had a win in the ring since 2003, almost as long as Martin hasn't had a date where his date didn't need an approval code before they went out,
That's my Kawhi impression.
Everything's not funny.
Because that was that was pretty bad.
And Roy Jones is 51 years old, and he hasn't fought since 2018. So before we get there, Martin, and I get your take, I'm going to say this to everyone listening out there. I implore you, do not spend $49.95 on this farce, on this fight, a so-called fight. It's just a highway robbery. It's a con job. Do not fall for it. Do not. Don't let your curiosity get the best of you. Please take that $49.95. Donate it to the Boys and Girls Club locally. Send that money in to cancer research. How about the United Negro College Fund? Do not waste your money to see some 50-year-old guys get in the ring way past their prime to satisfy some warped itch to be back in the limelight and to make a money grab. They should wear ski masks when they walk into the ring because this is a heist. I'm telling you, you'd be better off taking your $49.95. And we used to say this in Detroit all the time on a ripoff. You'd be better off going up to the top of the Penobscot building, the tallest building in Detroit, and throwing that $49.95 over the side. Don't fall for it. Don't buy it. You'll be crazy.
The Penobscot building. Lord have mercy. I'll say this. I mean, I think it's going to be a real fight in the idea that there's really going to be two guys really going to be standing there, really going to be trying to punch each other in the face. But, like, what is he – like? I guess that's my question for the reporter to Tyson. Like, yeah, it's going to be a real fight, but it's not going to mean anything. Like, it's going to be a real – like, if I got up right now and I went back there and I fought Lee, it's a real fight. But nobody's going to pay $14.99 or $40.99 or $49.99 to watch that. Right, like, that's just not going to happen. It's because there's no draw, right? Like, Tyson, first, I know I'm 31 years old, okay? My memories of Mike Tyson are from The Hangover, and my memory of Roy Jones is from the track that he dropped in 2007, right? Like, it's not, I don't really have memories of these guys as boxers. It's like, it's not, it'd be one thing if you were talking about, like, it's not quite Mayweather-McGregor because at least that was a farce too, but McGregor at least has a history of fighting people on TV for money, even if it's not boxing, right? Like, you know, McGregor is a fighter. But this is, I mean, I'll say this though. If you are super into this, like, I'm not going to tell another man how to spend his money, but this is just like the quarantine Instagram Live versus going into real life. This is just, you know, guys who are done. You know, we're not really watching this for boxing. We're watching this to see what's going to happen.
No, I get the train wreck, but it's a money grab. Are you kidding me? The Staples Center, 9 p.m. Eastern, they're going to have a couple other fights. And somehow the California State Athletic Commission sanctioned the bout. But, of course, it has with several rules. And DAZN pointed out that the fight will go 8 2-minute rounds. The fight will stop if there's a cut and there are no knockdowns.
Well, I mean, it's like earlier today on the match, like Charles Barkley and Steph Curry really went out and played golf. They really kept score. It was really on TV.
It was on free TV. It wasn't $49.95. Martin, why are people so gullible? I get the train wreck. Is that what you want to see? You're going to, because there's nothing else on or you're bored, you just give up $50 to see what? To be disappointed? Because I don't understand how anybody could be interested in this. Let me tell you how uninterested I am. Not only would I not spend $49.95 on this, I wouldn't watch it if they showed me the replay of it for free or watch highlights of it. I have no interest in seeing guys who can get a discount at the Howard Johnson climb into a ring to fleece people of $50. This is what this is, Martin. This is nothing else.
Listen, I tell you what. People have been fleeced for much more over much worse. If you want, I'll tell you this. Listen, you're right. If you go in thinking that you're about to watch Roy Jones Jr. or Mike Tyson have an actual boxing match, you pay $50 and think you're going to see a real fight. Well, I'll tell you this. I got an island for you in Manhattan that you could buy, or whatever the phrase is. Like, you're a sucker. That's all that is. You're an absolute sucker. Now, I'm going in and watching this. If I were to be the type of person that was going to spend $50 on this, I'd be going for the show. The same way I spent $50 for a Broadway show, or spent $50 back when the movie theater was open. You want to go see a movie, you want to take a nice lady to the movies. It's going to cost you like $50-$60 to get in the door with your popcorns and your drinks. It's for the show. It's not for the actual movie. It's for what's happening around it and the environment and the so, like, I'm not going to begrudge anybody for wanting to spend the money on it, but I wouldn't. But if you're going here thinking that you're really going to see people fighting, like an actual, like if you're going in, like, when I watch Mayweather McGregor, I expected to see a technical boxing match. I expect nothing out of that, out of Tyson and Jones Jr. I just expect them to be two old guys swinging at each other.
I don't understand. If this was on free TV and you wanted to pop it on, fine. $49.95, just what? I mean, Mike Tyson hasn't fought since 2005, 15 years. When he quit that time, when it was all over, he said he wasn't good enough to fight or shouldn't be in the ring, that he didn't have it anymore. And 15 years later, now, while we're supposed to watch you fight and put up $49.95 during a pandemic, were people out of work? Seriously.
I don't know. You know who's out of work? Mike Tyson and Roy Jones. They have been fighting for 20 years.
You have a better chance taking that $49.95, going to getrobbed.com.
No, that's what this really is about.
Getting you something that you can wear. If you use the discount code ROBROB, you get 20% off your purchase for Black Friday. That's where $49.95, and you can get yourself something that you can wear, you can wash, you can hold on to, as a gift.
I can't believe that you guys let this happen. I'm only here every so often. You guys just let Rob Parker get off an 11-minute live read for GetRob.com.
That's how we do.
I mean, Lord have mercy. The topic here is Tyson versus Roy Jones versus Rob Parker. I missed the third line.
I'm telling you.
That was a great sell.
It makes no sense to waste your money. The train wreck thing, and this is how people get rich in this country. They put up these fraudulent things, like people get curious about it. There have been so many bad fights that people have paid for. Forget about this, and this is not even a real fight. This is with old geezers fighting. This could easily be over in a round or two or look ridiculous or slow, and you go, what did I just do? I just gave up $49.95? And then when you put your foot through the television, you got to go to Best Buy and buy you a new set. Because you feel like you got ripped off, you got robbed, you got bamboozled.
So you can actually go to getrobbed.com and get no. But in all seriousness, I don't necessarily have a big problem with them trying to pay a premium for it, especially if the audience is there, if people are buying it. Like, it's one thing if you're charging $500 for a pair of shoes and you only sell 100 pair, like LeVar Ball. Right, it's another thing entirely if you're selling $75 shoes and you can't, and all of them are sold out. Right, like if there's people clamoring all over themselves to catch this, then I don't have any problem with you selling for it, then charging for it. That's the whole point.
I get the business. I'm just saying,
Americans
like,
get rich. That's what America's about: scarcity, supply, and demand, and charging people.
What was the other thing? P.T. Barnum, there's a sucker born every minute, and if you've ordered this fight, I would classify you in that. I just cannot understand how anybody of their right, sound mind and body would invest and give up $49.95 on their own free will, unless there was a gun in your back or something and you were forced to turn over your credit card.